Heavenly Father, be in my speaking and in our listening, that together we may bring glory to your name. Amen. So today we enter a new liturgical year and the Christmas countdown period. Can it really have come round again so quickly? We generally look on this season as the time of preparation for Christmas, yet the readings for this first Sunday of Advent are preoccupied with the last days and Jesus' second coming. We're reminded that though Jesus has come, as was promised in the prophecies of the Old Testament, we still await the coming again of the Messiah, who, despite all appearances to the contrary, will finally establish God's rule on earth at the end of time. And all the faithful ones will know the joy of eternal life with him. So we are a waiting people, preparing for that glorious day when Jesus will return as he promised. Yet we're not good at waiting and preparing, are we? At this time of year especially, we're bombarded by a frenzy of suggestions for the perfect Christmas, the perfect gift. I so dislike that phrase. Buy now, they say. It's Black Friday. Take your chance for a bargain while you can. We're encouraged to take the waiting out of wanting. You can have it now, we're told, as if there's nothing worth waiting for. It's so very easy to be distracted in these 4 weeks from the main purpose of Advent, spiritual preparation for the coming of Jesus. Jesus' parable of the conscientious steward in Matthew's Gospel reminds us of some of the problems caused by having to wait. Its setting is that of a household whose master, having left someone in charge, is absent for some unspecified period. Jesus says of the steward, "Happy the servant if his master's arrival finds him at his employment. But as for the dishonest servant, who says to himself, 'My master is taking his time,' and sets about beating his fellow servants and eating and drinking with drunkards, his master will come on a day he does not expect, and he will cut him off." When we are left to our own devices with no one there to keep us on our toes, and when life is just full of routine and ordinariness, perhaps we are apt to get a bit slack, distracting ourselves with shopping and entertainment, and giving free rein to our emotions when things aren't going the way we think they should. This was the situation in the early church. They thought Jesus was going to return very soon, but then he didn't come, and they waited a bit longer, and still he didn't come. After a while, they got tired of waiting. Some got a little bored. Laxity set in. They started to lose faith in this Jesus. These dangers and temptations are all around us too, aren't they? Maybe your friends think you're rather odd still going to church. Christianity is outdated, disproved, boring and irrelevant, they say. What you need is more parties, more money-making, more electronic gadgetry. Who needs Christianity now that we have computers and instant access to all information? And anyway, they say, if your Jesus is so special, why is the world in such a mess? They know nothing about the lives that are changed every day by the gospel, of the joy and security of knowing how much Jesus loves us, of the power that becomes available to each one of us to make a difference in the world in God's service. We know that it's on the strength and consistency of our love for one another that we'll be judged when he returns. Only in partnership with Jesus can we become real, effective people, believing in his promises and persevering in discipleship through thick and thin. In today's gospel reading, Jesus is preparing his disciples for his death, their future life without his physical presence, and the dangers and temptations they'll have to face. Their goal and their prize will be to partake in the heavenly banquet, the feast of life in heaven with God forever. There's nothing in our Christmas feast which can compare in any way to the goodies that God has in store for those who put their trust in him. As St. Paul quotes from Isaiah in his letter to the Corinthians, "No eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the human heart conceived what God has prepared for those who love him." That is, those who persevere through the sufferings to come in complete trust in God's promises and are prepared and ready for his coming again. Jesus describes these sufferings in terrifying detail as signs of his imminent return. "There will be signs in the moon and the stars, and on the earth distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken." When our world is plagued by displays of great power, tsunamis, wars, catastrophes, dreadful acts of terrorism, global financial collapses, when our world seemingly descends into chaos, people begin to believe that the end is nigh. We certainly feel our vulnerability. Jesus' description of the tribulations to come can hardly have appealed to his disciples. He didn't promise an easy time. He offered little comfort, and the future seemed full of temptations and danger. The disciples couldn't have been blamed if they'd decided to leave Jesus. In fact, it's fairly certain that many did. His invitation to the heavenly banquet wasn't a conventional one trying to attract people. It was rather a bold challenge to discipleship and perseverance. Throughout his ministry, Jesus warned that only those who could share his suffering would share his glorious new life. Why should the disciples have remained when there were so few signs of comfort or reward? They stayed because they trusted the integrity of the one who invited them. Jesus presented them honestly with the truth of what they might expect when the time came for judgment. He promised them liberation, and liberation can only be achieved after a struggle with whatever or whoever is oppressing us, can't it? We're all oppressed by people or circumstances at one time or another. But the disciples also understood that while Jesus sometimes asked the difficult or improbable, he never expected the impossible. His invitation to the Feast of Life may have required time in the anteroom of struggle, but he never removed from them the hope of achieving heaven. He simply asked them to remain alert to the possibilities of dangers and temptations which might divert them after he'd gone. I'm reminded of a story I heard some time ago which illustrates trust, endurance, and eventual celebration. There was a wealthy man called Joseph Williamson who was born in Liverpool 240 years ago. He was a good man, always thinking of ways to help others with his time and money, though sometimes this involved some rather wacky ideas. He wanted to give poor people the chance to earn money, so one wacky idea was to get them to dig long tunnels and rooms in the stone under the city. He himself lived partly underground. His bedroom was a cave next to his house. One day he invited some of the smart people of Liverpool to dine with him in one of his underground chambers. Because they were curious to see these tunnels, many accepted the invitation, looking forward to the novelty of a lavish banquet underground. But they were led into a bare rock chamber. The only furnishings were a long trestle table and rough wooden chairs. To the dismay of the guests, the meal was simple: porridge and hard ship's biscuits. Some guests showed their disgust by leaving immediately and were shown out. Then, for those who stayed, Joseph opened another chamber, richly decorated and containing a huge feast. Amused and greatly heartened, the guests ate and drank to their heart's content. Those who left early missed all the goodies. The going may get tough, but we mustn't leave early, put off by what we see happening around us. Jesus calls us to be strong and resolute in living as he prescribed. At Christmas, we'll be celebrating his birth, but at the same time sharing in the struggle for liberation from sin, from death and disease, from ignorance and despair, our own and that of others. This is the work he left us to do. The media may be full of gloom, with pictures of violence and deprivation, with little hope and even less joy. But when troubles come, we won't lose heart. We won't seek comfort in inappropriate ways, but rather keep faith with our still coming Lord. We're promised that those who, hand in hand with Jesus, persevere to the end, will eventually be guests at the heavenly banquet. Nothing could be more worthwhile. Jesus has come to bring light into the darkness of our precarious existence. If we look towards this light and not down at our present circumstances, then we can know that all God's promises will be fulfilled, and the joy of heaven awaits us. Jesus forgives and forgets our past, strengthens us in holiness in the present, and gives us hope for the future. He alone is the perfect gift. So, as the candle of hope burns brightly on our Advent wreath this morning, and a new church year begins, let's savour this time of waiting as we prepare for the fulfilment of God's promise of a great feast in heaven when Jesus comes again. Amen.